Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Stu does America.
Got a big show for you tonight. Jill Savage and Matt Peterson are going to be here to preview Donald Trump's big speech tonight. And speaking of that big speech, we've got to be sure to check out the coverage tonight on Blaze TV. I'll be part of it. It is special coverage, Trump's address to Congress. It's going to be blazetv.com/stu if you want to join up and watch it on Blaze TV. Just to give you a quick outline, we've got like an hour and a half pre-show, all starts at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, kind of just previewing what's coming up in the speech. Then you get to watch the entire speech without interruption. And after that is done, we will come back together and do a little, post-game action. I don't know, maybe I'll even go live on YouTube. I haven't done that in a while, actually, since the election, probably. So youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica if you want to watch the post recap. That'll be a lot of fun as well. Take your questions, and that'll be great as well. Okay. Let's talk about the Trump doctrine. That's what we're doing here tonight. And it is an interesting one. Trump is going to be addressing Congress and the nation as he tests limits of presidential power. Notice how there's always the qualifier from the mainstream media. Trump is going to be talking in Congress as he's Hitler. There's always something that they have to kind of imply. They can't just cover that he's talking about it. Trump will step up to the dais at 9 p.m. Eastern, lay out his goals for the next 4 years, and tout the actions he's taken so far, many of them challenging constitutional restraints on his authority versus Congress and the courts. The president teased on Monday that it would be a big night, and House Speaker Mike Johnson told Fox News over the weekend to expect fireworks. I will say, you shouldn't say things like that anymore. As we learned with Donald Trump when he said, it's going to be crazy on January 6th at the rally. They're like, he said it would be crazy. He was saying there was going to be an insurrection. So you can't say fireworks because if something government, something blows up somewhere, they'll be like, Mike Johnson said there'd be fireworks. And then that building blew up. And then he said it was going to be a big night. What does that mean? You know that's coming across the corner. So get ready for that. Presidential speech to Congress, but it is not a State of the Union address. It's so weird. I don't know why, but it's not. Presidential speech to Congress, not a State of the Union address. Well, I do know why. Starting with President Ronald Reagan in 1981, all presidents have delivered high-profile speeches to Congress shortly after their inauguration, and then again each year. Those speeches early in the term are not considered State of the Union addresses, and the American Presidency Project at UC Santa Barbara flags them with an asterisk in its roundup of presidential speeches to Congress. So, I mean, I guess in some ways, you just came into office a few weeks ago. You're slapping paint on the wall. I don't know if you have all of the knowledge to say a State of the Union. Though, that being said, the guy was already president. He was running for president almost the entire time in between when he was president. And frankly, he's got a pretty good awareness of the State of the Union. Whether you agree with it or not is another story. But I think we just call him State of the Unions. That's what I'm going to do. You know, why not? Trump's address has a theme tonight, and it has been revealed, the renewal of the American dream. It'll feature main sections, which are accomplishments from Trump's second term thus far, home and abroad, what the Trump administration has done for the economy, the president's renewed push for Congress to pass additional funding for border security, and the president's plans for peace around the globe. Now, of course, the Democrats are not going to just sit there and clap. They're going to have to be annoying about everything. Some Dems plot to disrupt Trump's speech to Congress. What we're hearing, this is according to Axios, some members have told colleagues they may walk out of the chamber when Trump says specific lines they find objectionable. Very adult of you. That is usually what a child would do. You know, screw you guys, I'm going home. You got that Cartman approach to the speech. That's nice. Criticism of transgender kids was brought up as one of those lines in the sand. Wide array of props is possible, including noisemakers. Just pathetic. Anti-Doge messages on signs, eggs or empty egg cartons. I love that one because, like, that was a huge problem for them. And now they're just like, and they kept saying it was nothing. It was, oh, it's bird flu. What are you talking about? There's nothing we can do about that. And then now that egg prices are high under Trump, it's all of a sudden Trump's fault. That's always interesting. Hand clappers, red cards, other various flops, props have been discussed. We'll see if any of them pop out. Now, you can kind of tell a lot about these speeches by who the president is planning on bringing to them. We have a list of that here. The White House guests for Trump addresses, according to The Hill. And you got Allison and Lauren Phillips, the mother and sister of Lake and Riley. You have Alexis Nungare, whose 12-year-old daughter Jocelyn was killed by two individuals who entered the country illegally. Also sitting with the First Lady, Roberto Ortiz, served as a Border Patrol agent for nearly a decade. So you can see, focus number one, border, 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 border. He's going to talk a lot about the border. He thinks that he has said this multiple times, that he believes that's the reason he got elected, not really even the economy. It was more border related than even the economy. So the border is going to be a high piece of focus, of course. Also, Mark Fogel and his mother, Malfine. Fogel was released from Russia last month as part of an exchange brokered by the Trump administration. He's a teacher from Pennsylvania, and he had been detained for more than 3 years in Russian prison. Now, why is he bringing that up? You know, I thought he all of a sudden was super friendly. I thought he was a Russian agent. Why would he highlight Russian taking prisoners of innocent Americans? Well, he's doing that to highlight his ability, he's trying to communicate, to end the Russia-Ukraine war. I can negotiate with Russia. I can get things done in Russia. I can go on the world stage and get things done that others can't. And that's what he's going to, of course, highlight there, the Ukraine effort, which there were some big developments in that story today. We'll talk about those coming up. You also have Peyton McNabb. McNabb, who was on Ali Beth Stuckey's show a while ago, she sustained a concussion during a high school volleyball game after a transgender opponent's spike hit her in the head. Absolutely gruesome. There's another video out today of, I don't know, this guy looks like he's like a 6'4", you know, man, just tossing some little girl around on the basketball court and hurting her back. It's like, this is barbaric. I don't know how anyone gets behind this. And like, trying to be as generous as possible on this particular thing, which is not necessarily perhaps what I should be doing, but I tend to look at these things this way just to at least try to understand their argument. Maybe you can make an argument, and I don't know that I agree with it, but you can make an argument that these things aren't super common, right? You can make the argument that there's not a lot of boys who see such an advantage and like care about winning at women's sports that they're all going to convert to women and succeed there. And it's true. I don't think the numbers are massively high, though they are growing at a bizarrely exponential pace, which makes you think maybe it's not a real thing. It's a wholly, totally different story. But like when you watch a boy beat up a girl, hurt a girl, injure a girl in a competition, in a physical sport like that, it is incomprehensible to me that there is not 100% agreement on what should be done, which is that should never happen again. And President Trump smartly exploited that in the campaign for political purposes. I mean, he certainly believes it as well. Though I will say, you go back to the early Trump days and you say when they were talking about the bathroom issue of whether, you know, there should be, you know, men going into women's bathrooms. And he was like, let them go where they want to go. Like, I don't want to get involved. He's come a long way on this particular issue. We know he actually does believe it. But highlighting it for political purposes is smart because it's the only sane answer here. It's the only sane answer. So Peyton McNabb will be there. Also, January Littlejohn sued a Florida school board alleging officials socially transitioned her daughter to a different sexual identity without her knowledge or her husband's knowledge. She will be there. Then you have Corey Comparator, who, of course, was Corey was the man who was killed in the assassination attempt. Stephanie Diller, the widow of a New York police officer John Diller, who was killed. So you're going to talk about violence against police officers, an assassination against Trump, and kind of highlight the crime issues. And there's one other one in here that I thought was notable. Elliston Berry, a 15-year-old who was a victim of deep fake images. It's like a revenge porn theme that I know is very important to Melania. And so that may very well be another featured part of this particular speech. Alyssa Slotkin is going to do the response. She's a first-term Michigan senator. You might say, who? It's a good point. Alyssa Slotkin will deliver the Democratic rebuttal to Trump. Narrowly defeated Republican Mike Rogers to win an open battleground seat, despite Trump carrying the state. Chuck Schumer praised Slotkin of nothing short as a rising star in our party when announcing her selection on Thursday. Now, just to tell you, because I grew up in the 80s, and I remember all those 80s shows. The producer grew up in the 90s, and he wants me to bring this to you, which is this Alyssa Slotkin looks like this lady, Megan Price of Rules of Engagement, which apparently was a sitcom in the 90s. So now you have the important news of the day. Thank you so much to my producer, Adam, who brings, I mean, just so you know, there's about 10 different 90s references that try to get worked into every single monologue. I try to spare you of as many as possible. But, you know, of course, a lot of you like them, so it's okay. So we're looking at immigration, looking at Doge stuff that will get a big highlight, I think, tonight. DEI, of course, when it comes to trans sports and all the, you know, nonsensical DEI stuff. Again, very popular issue for Republicans. Ukraine, I think, has got to be a big focus here, especially considering what we saw a couple days ago with everybody fighting, Zelensky and Vance and Trump fighting in that open press meeting. And then also today, which is this development, we'll get into a little bit more depth here in a little bit, but you know, Zelensky basically coming out and saying, hey, I wish that went differently, and I'm absolutely for peace, and here's something that I want to do right now. It's a big ceasefire. Let me explain it to you. Big change as far as Zelensky goes today. We'll see if that leads to anything. Oh, and tariffs are the other big one, because that's it's a story that's going to be affecting a lot of people. It's certainly affecting the markets. And, you know, as we all kind of know as conservatives, you raise taxes, you're going to have problems with the markets. That's not a new theory. And it's something that certainly Donald Trump would be very much on board for when it comes to other types of taxes. Tariffs, though, he was very clear. He ran on them. He was going to implement them. And when you implement tariffs, especially at the levels we're talking about, you know, you do wind up getting some of those negative economic consequences. So I'm sure he will discuss and defend those actions as well. There's so much for us to cover on this speech tonight. We've got Jill Savage here. We've got Matt Peterson here. We want to get to some conversations with them. And then after the show ends, only a half an hour until Blaze TV's coverage begins. I'll be there hosting it along with Glenn Beck and so many others. It's blazetv.com/Stu. The promo code is Stu. You can save money if you use that code. Join us on Blaze TV. You know what the media is doing. We're trying to do the opposite of that. We're trying to give you the truth on this stuff. So we really would appreciate it if you take the time and join up with us today. BlazeTV.com/Stu. Promo code is Stu.
Stu does America.
With blizzard warnings sweeping across the Central Plains right now in the Midwest, it is stark to remind yourselves about how unpredictable weather can be. You know, heavy snow, high winds, near zero visibility are making travel treacherous. These conditions highlight the importance of being prepared for emergencies. First responders are working tirelessly, but they can't be anywhere, you know, everywhere all at once. This is up to you at some level, right? And that's why it's crucial to take your safety into your own hands. One essential tool for your emergency kit is definitely got to be the Jace case from Jace Medical. I can't recommend this highly enough. I just had an experience with my mom where I was able to use the medicine I had in my Jace case and help her out as she was getting over kind of a serious, I don't know, some sort of like, it was like a really, it was worse than a cold. I'll say that. It was rough. She was, in, you know, affected for over a week. I was able to use the Jace case to help her in that situation as she was having trouble getting out to the doctor. If you are the type of person that wants to be prepared when disaster strikes, you're absolutely want to get going to get this for your home. It's the Jace case personalized emergency kit. Contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. Saves five life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. They have ivermectin as an ion if you would like that. Lots of stuff at the Jace case. You can customize it however you want. So go to jace.com, enter their giveaway they've got going on right now, or just purchase your own case. It's a promo code Stu at checkout for your discount on your order. Promo code is Stu at jace.com, jase.com.
Für alle ein Fest zum Aldi-Tiefpreis. Diese Woche Gourmet-Dessert-Törtchen. 6x30 Gramm für nur 2,89 Euro. Oder Gourmet-Frischkäsegipfel. 90 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke viele weitere festliche Angebote. Jetzt bei Aldi Nord. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Joined once again by Jill Savage. She's the host of Blaze News, The Mandate, which is right here on Blaze TV. Jill, thanks so much. How are you?
Thanks for having me back on. I'm so excited for tonight. Like, I feel like this is something that we've all been waiting for, right? Trump 1.0 versus Trump 2.0 is completely different. So I'm excited to see what we get tonight.
It is very different. Yeah. You have been covering this. It's interesting because you came from a sports background where you went to lots of fun events. Now you're in the world of politics, and you still, do you like going to these things? Do you like going to Washington and doing that scene?
I do, actually. I mean, it's funny because I would go from like Final Fours in college football games to like the galas at the inauguration.
Yeah.
And there it is. But yeah, it is fun basically because D.C. isn't what it used to be. It's still the swamp, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But Chris Bedford is our guy out there in D.C., and he was taking us around, and he's like, don't worry, guys. I put in the 20 years in this city to make sure that when you guys came along here just in the last couple weekends, it's going to be fun for you. And everybody that is MAGA has been taking over the city, and now they're filling out the administration.
Yeah.
And it's a good time there in D.C. right now.
I think to get me to live and work in D.C. for 20 years, you'd have to start at Elon Musk wealth.
Yeah. Like,
that's about the starting point. And I think I'm saying no, but, you know, if that's where I would start talking to you about doing that. So Chris is he deserves a Purple Heart for those efforts. I was in D.C. for the inauguration, too, and it was an interesting feel. I've been there before. I've done this for a long time, and it did feel, and it was, and look, it was inauguration weekend for Donald Trump. So obviously this was a high point for Republicans, a lot of Republicans in town, but the city did feel different, and there's a different energy to it. It feels like there is a younger group of conservatives and Republicans that are just pumped up about this and want to get stuff done.
Yeah, if you look at Donald Trump in the polling numbers that are out right now, he does the best with the younger generation, right? Mm. The older you get, the less popular Donald Trump is. Mm. And I look at that even in terms of just like, okay, well, who owns all the assets in this country? Well, it's all the older ones. So if prices actually come down, if things change with tariffs or whatever is going to happen in the stock market or housing prices, well, guess what? The younger generation is going to be like cheering him on because they might actually be able to afford something. And that's one of the things that he's going to be focusing on tonight is just the renewal of the American dream. And I think it's so important to just go out there and tell people it is okay to be patriotic, to love your country, to go through and actually say America first is not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. It's not something that should be shied away from. It's something to actually go through and embrace at this point in time. And I think that if you were born, right, there are a lot of people out there that were born after 9/11 that are still voting for Donald Trump in this election, right? They don't know what the America was like that we grew up with and that sense of pride. And this might be the first time that they've actually been able to feel that.
I think, too, a part of it is attitude. Like, you know, if you kind of think of, I think the way it's typically been covered is, you know, older people don't like how brash he is and his mean tweets and all that stuff. And I think there's something to that. Obviously, younger people are going to be more open to just kind of trolling and being a wise ass. But in addition to that, I think it's also this like unapologetic vision of winning, right? Like where Trump is just like, screw everybody else, America first, we're going for it. And whether you think it works or not, that attitude I think is really abrasive to certain people, particularly of an older age, where younger people are just like, hey, I've never felt that as you kind of that post 9/11 moment where we're just like, you know, patriotism and America's the best and all that stuff. And you know what? That feels pretty good. It felt good in the 80s, felt good after September 11th, even under in a tragic circumstance. And I think people are discovering that again.
As a Rush baby, Rush Limbaugh was the one who taught me that when I was their age. And now to see this, of course, you know, Rush has been gone now for 4 years. Somebody else needs to come up and give that sense of overarching national pride. And I loved how bombastic Rush was, right? And I remember going into my first job, even in sports and television, being like, all right, how am I going to do this, right? Like, this is unusual to be on TV and do that whole thing. And I'm like, well, Rush does it, and he has half his brain tied behind his back just to make it fair, right? Like, so even just using some of those things, I think that people can pick up with that from Donald Trump, and he's like, go out, win, go figure out what you want to do in life and make it happen, and don't take any crap from anybody. And America as a whole, if everybody just kind of goes out there and has that sense of pride and just doesn't, you know, like, okay, let's go lowest common denominator. No, we can actually build something and be great in this country again.
Yeah, and that's a great message, right? I mean, I think, you know, people talk about the Reagan era. There's that optimism in that Reagan era. And I think that optimism is back in a lot of ways. And when you think of successes so far of the first, let's say, 6 weeks, what stands out?
Oh, there are so many. We were promised shock and awe with the executive orders.
We absolutely got that.
It's been fun to do the show the last 6 weeks, I'll tell you that, because there's no lack of content, that's for sure. But the biggest thing, I think it has to be the border, right? Closing the border. The number of illegals that are crossing the border was at a 15-year low, we said earlier on our show this week. So the fact that he has been able to go out there and have so much success so early on, even when you have the Democrats that are trying to say, in other languages. Hey, this is how you bypass all the system and get through. And these are the code right. words that you need to say. That's not even working right now. They're trying their best to undermine Donald Trump. But Tom Homan, the border czar, has been doing a great job of messaging early on. And then just when they're not coming over, it's a lot easier than to focus on the deportations, because we have to have the country. If you're going to have a successful future, you have to take back the country.
Right. You have to have borders. You have to have your sovereignty is important. And I think to me, it seems like it's the clearest, like clear cut victory so far. Now, that can only take you so far. Like, I think changing the tone of like, hey, don't come to the border, instead of please, we'll welcome you, is going to be a big part of that. Obviously, Homan is really cracking down as well. Legislation would be great long term to make it a long term fix. What else have you seen that outside of just because the border, I think, is, I mean, it's inarguable. Unless you want more people coming across the border, then you think it's a failure. But if you want the border to have people who are only coming across that are legal, massive success there. Where else? What else have we seen?
I'm a Doge fiend, right? Like, inject it into my arm at this point in time, every time that they come out, right? And this is just the absolute low-hanging fruit right now. We were in, Matthew Peterson and I were in Washington, D.C. 2 weekends ago, and we were able to walk through the Eisenhower Building and the White House. And to go through and see, one, just members of DOGE that were there and everybody else that's staffing the administration, it's a skeleton crew right now. So they are getting massive wins at this point in time. With, you could see the gold placards that were next to the door that said which office it was. There are currently post-it notes over those to be like, oh, this is the scheduling room for the Trump administration, meeting room 114. So things aren't even staffed out entirely, right? They'll have like two people in a department right now that should have like 30. And they're getting there. But you can go through and see the wins that we've had in 6 weeks. And DOGE, to me, is one of the absolute biggest wins, because if it's Trump versus the deep state, trying to dismantle everything and trying to take back decades of layers that they have built in D.C., DOGE is coming through and saying, hey, there's a $100 billion over here. There's this over there, you know, and they're just uncovering this, which no one, except for the members of the families in D.C. who are actually getting all of this money, they're the only ones that are upset that all of this money is being uncovered at this point in time, because this does give you a sense of, OK, well, maybe we can actually change things for once in our life. And whether we have 4, 8 or 12 years to do it, who knows? But this is the window of time that we have to actually make changes at the federal level of the United States. They understand, the people that we were talking to there, they understand the sense of urgency. And I think that's why you see things that are moving so quickly right now within the Trump administration.
And it is, you know, look, it's been a high point. There's obviously a honeymoon every time you come into the White House at some level. That can change, though, and it can change quickly. I would advise the president of the United States not to take advice from the Dallas Mavericks front office on this one.
It's been a rough couple weeks for them.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I have never seen a franchise completely dismember its own fan base in such rapid succession. I mean, they have destroyed the entire fan base. I feel like they've completely abandoned the team at this point.
Stu, when I saw the Luka trade, I thought it was like a fake Twitter.
I thought it was a hack.
I thought I was like, there's absolutely no way that you would ever do this. And then I kept seeing it. I'm like, oh my gosh. Did they actually do this?
Yeah.
I don't even know what you do as the ownership from that point on, because like,
and it's worse.
Everybody
than ever.
Is so mad at you.
Everyone's so pissed off at you. And like, there's a world where like you trade Luka. Luka is maybe doesn't get healthy right away. Davis plays really well. Kyrie's healthy. You have a decent run. You become the 4 or 5 seed, maybe win a round or two. And like, at least people would not be jumping off of buildings. But like, Davis gets hurt in the first game. Now, as of today, Kyrie Irving out for the rest of the season. if only you had a heliocentric type player that could control the game and make you competitive by himself, like Luka, everything might still be okay, but they don't have that anymore. I mean, this is a catastrophe.
They were like, you know what? We have too many stars on this team. Yeah. We would like less stars.
Yes.
We would like to have one person really get all of the attention from the defense. And you know what? That's going to be our game plan going in. So we have we have to rectify this situation. This is terrible. We don't know. We have an abundance of wealth in this country.
Yeah.
And in the Dallas Mavericks, they were like, that's enough. We
can't keep
doing that.
You got to keep it fair. We were doing too well.
We are.
All right. Well, you're going to be on the coverage tonight, right?
Yes.
This is going to be fun. It is Blaze TV's coverage of the big speech. It's not technically a State of the Union. It's what is it? A joint session of Congress. I don't know why. I mean, yeah. I don't see. He's had 42 days. He knows
baby
State of the Union. Yeah, it's a baby. Right. The baby State of the Union. Thank you. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Jill Savage will be there for the baby State of the Union. She's the host of Blaze News, The Mandate, right here on Blaze TV. Make sure to subscribe at blazetv.com/stew. You can get the subscription. We're going to do a pre-show. You watch the entire speech live uninterrupted, and then we'll do a post-game wrap-up afterwards. So a lot of people are going to be there. Are going to be great. Jill will be there. Matt Peterson's coming up. He'll be there as well. Who else? We've got, I think, Steve Dace is in town, right?
Liz Wheeler's
in town.
Ali Beth Stuckey.
Glenn Beck. Ali Beth Stuckey. So it's going to be a great panel.
Some guy named Glenn, yeah.
I don't know who he is. I think he does janitorial.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. We'll work him in maybe as well. So thanks so much for joining us, and we will see you tonight.
Thank you.
So the Ukraine developments are crazy today. Trump has suspended military aid to Ukraine after the Oval Office blow up. So we know that was Friday. They kind of got in that fight. Official cutting off of all aid happened. I guess it was yesterday. I can't even keep track of this. And then today we got a tweet or a truth or whatever from Vladimir Zelensky, who basically said, hey, we want peace, too. I'm sorry that went so badly. Here's our we'd like a ceasefire right now. What do you think? So he's kind of backing off this. It's moving so fast. We don't know exactly where this lands. I think it would be important to see what Trump talks about tonight in the speech, just kind of see where we are with this one, because diplomacy is just, you know, it is speech at some level. And so we will see the next step in that speech here tonight on Blaze TV, blazetv.com/stew. We'll talk to Matt Peterson about that as well here in a little bit. Also, you have China and Canada. So Trump put a 25% tariff on Canada and a 10% tariff on China. They've immediately retaliated with the equal tariffs. It's interesting, though, honestly, because so Trump put out a truth after this. And tell me where this ends exactly. And the markets are absolutely getting murdered by all of this. Here's what Trump truthed after. He said, please explain to Governor Trudeau of Canada, again, playing him as only a governor, that when he puts retaliatory tariffs on the U.S., our reciprocal tariff will immediately increase by a like amount. So in theory, what's happening now is we put a 25% tariff on them first. They respond with an equal 25% tariff, but we're calling that retaliatory. And then we go to 50%, which we're calling reciprocal. I would assume that means that they're going to retaliate and go to 50%. So that's retaliatory again. Then we go up to 75. I'm not exactly sure where this ends. I mean, I maybe we just, you know, we both dome our countries and no goods ever pass between them. I think that's probably the most likely thing right now. Look, the markets hate tax increases. And look, that's what tariffs are. You might not like, you might like the word tariff better than tax increase. I get it. But the bottom line is that's what they are on the goods coming into the country. The strategy there is to basically say, I know we're both going to have lots of pain, but our pain, we can withstand longer than your pain. And in some ways, it's like war. I mean, that is why trade war kind of is a sensible way to look at this sometimes. That being said, we don't know where this ends up, and we'll see. The markets don't like it, obviously, but you know, if this all ends in some happy place in a couple weeks, it's probably just a blip. If not, it could be really economically damaging and damaging to potentially whatever Donald Trump wants to do in the next few years. We'll watch it closely. Navigating today's real estate market can be daunting, especially with recent fluctuations in home prices. According to Forbes, the surge in home prices has slowed and even declined in some markets, thanks to increasing inventory and softer demand due to affordability challenges. And there's been a lot of those. Whether you're buying or selling, these shifts underscore the importance of having a knowledgeable real estate agent by your side. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is a place that connects you with top selling agents in your area who understand the current market dynamics. These professionals aren't just part-timers, they're leaders, they're closers. These are the experts in their industry who can guide you through every step of the process. If you're considering making a move, now is the time to consult with an expert that can help you navigate these uncertain times. You can find them at realestateagentsitrust.com. realestateagentsitrust.com. It's a free service to you. realestateagentsitrust.com.
Achtung, es folgt eine wichtige Botschaft Ihres Mobilfunkanbieters.
Ey Mann, es gibt Leute, die drücken immer noch zu viel Knitter ab.
Nein, nicht frisch.
Lebara ist ja irgendwie smarter.
Ja, smart.
50 Gigabyte für nur 8,99.
Wenig Knete.
Ich zahle doch nicht mehr für weniger.
Nee, das wäre auch schön blöd. Lebara, deine Knete, deine Entscheidung.
Nice.
Alle Details zu unseren Tarifen finden Sie unter lebara.de.
I want to bring in Matt Peterson. He's editor-in-chief here at Blaze Media. Matt, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Big night tonight. We've got the big speech coming up.
I'm excited. I mean, this is going to be a very fun night, I think, a very interesting night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not as if there hasn't been a lot of news going around. So there's lots to talk about.
You know, Trump does not keep you bored. That you know, is going to be part of it. Let me start with the Ukraine stuff that's going on right now. Take us back to, what was it, Friday? It feels like it was 6 months ago that this happened. But the Zelensky-Trump-Vance meeting in the Oval Office. You were in Washington for this, right?
Yeah, so that morning I went to the National Prayer Breakfast, and Vance gave a very interesting, eloquent, magnanimous speech. He talked a lot about Pope Francis and just completely went above board all the immigration stuff, didn't respond in kind, said some interesting things about Catholic and really Christian social teaching and Trump's foreign policy. So in the morning he was talking about how bringing peace to the world, he almost steals the old leftist talking points, is what Trump's foreign policy is about, particularly in protecting Christians throughout the world, which the United States, he maintained, had just failed to do in many of these foreign wars over the last 20 plus years. So he was talking about foreign policy in the morning in a very high-minded way, at a very pleasant, in a very pleasant surroundings with friends. And then afterwards, I met Chris Bedford, our senior politics guy, our DC guy, who's really anchoring a great team there that we're building out. We went over to the White House to meet some people behind the scenes for some off-record discussions. And while we were there, it happened.
So you're in the White House when this thing goes down. What is the vibe of that place in the middle of all this?
So, I mean, the vibe right now, just in general, is very friendly. I mean, there's just so many great people there, so many people that if you go and you've been in this movement for a while, you'll know, you know the people there. And there's just, I feel like a lot of love, a lot of excitement. You know, it's an energetic place. It's bustling. The Avengers are still assembling. They're still filling it out. So it's a great vibe to be in there. But yes, when that happened, we weren't in the room right when it happened. We weren't covering this event.
Yeah.
But everyone's TV was on, and the entire building, I mean, it was electric. You could feel it in the building. People were watching it just like people were, you know, at their houses, just glued to the screens. I remember looking at just staring, you know, at it, almost in disbelief. And my line was, hey, don't worry about it. This is glorious.
Yeah, okay, that's good. I mean, at the very least, it was remarkable. I mean, I've never seen anything like it before. I mean, I was thinking of, you know, sometimes you'd see us go in front of the UN and just bash Ahmadinejad or something in Iran. And like, okay, that happens often.
Right.
What doesn't happen often are two countries that are supposedly allied. Like, we've been, you know, generally speaking, on the same page with Ukraine at some level for a while, as opposed to, you know, Russia or China. And then two allies in front of the press going at it like that. I mean, that was absolutely incredible to watch. And I think it winds up forwarding what Trump wanted to happen anyway. But I don't know that he went in there with that design. It seemed like, honestly, Zelensky was the one creating the back and forth.
Yeah, my take on it, if you step back and just look at it from a media frame, is that both parties were arguing in public the things that usually are in private. Yeah. You see that happening a lot now all across the scene. So things that have been hidden are now you know, now right there in front of you live. And Zelensky decided to do that himself.
Yeah.
Because he'd been hemming and hawing. He'd been telling a different story to the press. I mean, Rubio had complained to the press about this. He's sort of talking behind our backs or lying. He'd been hemming and hawing, going back and forth on whether he wanted to sign. And so, I mean, I think it was not a setup. It was set up for a normal, you know, take a victory lap. We're going to talk in front of everyone. We're not going to talk about our disagreements. And then we're going to go sign this. We're going to make a deal, which he had failed to do a few times before, right? So I think Zelensky decided, no, I'm going to maintain my complaints in public, right to the vice president and call him out. And that was a bad idea because the vice president and the president decided, okay, if you want to have this out in public and talk about the past and relitigate it, then we'll do the same. And we don't appreciate that. And what you see happening is, again, the veil being torn down. And as Trump said, it was hilarious to both of us, I think, that, you know, that little part in his brain that never turns off. Just he mentioned, well, this is going to be good TV.
And it was.
It sure was. It sure was, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, it's a bad idea for Zelensky to do for 100 million reasons. Your job in that position is to say thank you a bunch of times and get off the stage, get into that back room. It's especially dumb when you're going against Donald Trump, who's obviously fearless in those situations, and J.D. Vance, who's really good at this type of stuff. I mean, you saw what he did, you know, in the VP debate, for example. Mm-hmm. He's really good at this. It just seems like a massive miscalculation by Zelensky, and his actions today kind of back that up, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say what he was thinking, but it does seem as if he was reluctant to really take the deal. I mean, he wanted, you know, security guarantees in the past. What's going to happen in the future? There's this sort of unanswered question out there as to what would satisfy you and what would satisfy Europe and how far are you willing to go? And that's an open question and a question that he wanted to push. You know, I mean,
he did.
He did.
And,
and here we are.
Yeah. Talk to me about the mineral deal here for a second, because I think this is an interesting part of this. What Zelensky seemed to have wanted there was, hey, we'll give you some of these mineral rights in exchange for you guys, some sort of security guarantee from you guys, which I don't know, maybe in the back of their minds means there's troops there. Maybe, you know, I don't think there's any chance we're doing that. On the other side, it's being presented in the media as Donald Trump is going after this vulnerable ally in their moment of need and just raping them because he can, which, you know, I don't know. You could make that argument. However, doesn't it play into Ukraine's security long term if we have interests there?
Absolutely. I mean, look, think about land lease. Think about what we've done in the past with countries that needed our support. When you give material support like this, you know, the you presuppose if Russia attacked our operations there or things that we had an interest in, that would obviously provoke us in some way. And so really it's by developing that relationship and by making this deal, there's a certain implicit security guarantee. And when you're dealing with someone like Trump, I think you can actually take that to the bank. I mean, he would be very upset, right? I mean, it's unimaginable that Russia could mess with that and there would be no repercussions from the United States. So I think this is a first step. Now, I agree that there'd be plenty more to talk about. I mean, certainly if I was sitting in Ukraine, I would have a lot more questions about who's going to defend us and how and why. But the blanket, you know, the begging, you know, reminds me a little of NPR at this point. I mean, just you give us the money, give us the money, give us the money, without accountability and without a clear sense of what everyone's willing to do and where the lines are. That's ridiculous. And so, I mean, I am very much, I can see the administration's case, I think, pretty clearly here, which is, look, get on board. Let's start moving. Let's start making progress, and we'll keep going. And then for that party to sort of push it. I mean, that's what Trump was doing. I mean, there's a whole context to him going, "You don't have any cards."
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
Let's step back from Ukraine and look at the entire first. What is it? 6 weeks, basically, in office. It came out of the gate fast. There's no doubt about that. Tried to get pretty much everything done as fast as possible. There's a lot of stuff he's trying to do and currently continuing to do. What's your overall view of the first 6 weeks?
I mean, this was one of the fastest rushes, right? Fastest blasts of wind that we've ever seen in presidential history. So this was a transition team that was very prepared. And I think that it's not just a bunch of pieces of paper that Trump signed. You see a lot of action. I mean, it's moving so fast that as one younger person said within the White House, it's as if the train left before the wheels, right? And they're all going to catch up. It wasn't, you know, they weren't worried, but it's, that's how fast it's moving. And you can see a lot of different parties moving fast as well. Things haven't even sorted out, so it's fully staffed. So there's a real sense of purpose, a sense of direction, a sense of an agenda, and a kind of rush of energy, a burst of energy that really has been quite something to behold. And I think behind that is not just, it's not just a bunch of air that's gonna go through, right? It really is, it's the air from the train, and the train is moving. The train has left the station, and you have very serious people like Russ Vogt at OMB, the Office of Management and Budget. You have people like Linda McMahon just being confirmed, saying my mission is to get rid of this department for real. That's something we haven't heard in the past from Republicans. So, I mean, I think you see the serious determination and energy in a way that I've never seen in my lifetime.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, you say on the Department of Education, we have occasionally heard it.
Right.
Whether anything's happened with it is right. Really the other side of that.
Yes.
And I hope that we're in a different era here. I mean, I do think that there's at least a possibility that, you know, I don't know that, you know, look, I'm always skeptical of actually eliminating a department. Sure. I don't know. It never seems to come around. But like, you know, Trump, if anyone's going to do it, I suppose it's going to be Donald Trump.
You're right. I mean, we have to believe it when we see it, right? Trust but verify. But I guess what we're hearing now and seeing is very serious. I mean, there's maybe three or four people at least that I've talked to who are going to the Department of Education in some fashion, and to a man, what I say to all of them is, hey, are you really going to do this? And the message from the White House is clearly, internally, shut it down. Mm. And that, okay, you know, let's see what happens.
How concerned are you looking like over a longer term period that, you know, you have a few different ways you can do things, right? You can just set a tone, right? And that, I think the border has been affected by that. Just setting the tone, hey, you're not coming across anymore, right, is a big part of the border success so far. You also have executive action, right? And Trump has really utilized the executive order to great effect. And of course, the third part of that is legislation, which we haven't really gotten to yet. Mm-hmm. Understandably, as we were just at the beginning, and there's very small majorities, of course, for Republicans. Mm-hmm. How concerned are you, though, how hard we've had to lean into executive orders and executive power so far, and is that lasting?
I'm actually not concerned. In the past, of course, I've shared the same concerns that I think most people on the right do about executive orders. I actually think they're necessary right now, because the only way you're not going, Congress is dead, right? Congress is dysfunctional. Congress is broken. Congress is a creature of the administrative state. So if it's dead, how do you actually, within the separation of powers, how do you resuscitate a dead branch? Well, you got to take some extreme measures. And the first thing is let's start at the beginning. Biden used executive orders, right? Obama used executive orders. There's a lot that needs to be rolled back that the executive needs to roll back, number one.
That's easy.
Number two, there are real executive powers that need to be exercised and tested because the administrative state claims that it can act out from under the executive, who is vested with all executive power. It's not like Congress, where the Constitution limits the powers of Congress and lays them out. These are the only things you can legislate about. With the president, it says all executive power is vested, into the presidency. So you can't cabin that. You know, you can't like list it all out. Mm-hmm. It's just executive power is what it is. You're in charge of the deal. You're the CEO. Now, over time, right, that's been corrupted. And so I think the executive orders are necessary to provoke both the courts and Congress to action. And that will get the gears turning and allow the Constitution to start working again. And I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm okay with that. I think it's needed to resuscitate the system.
Mm. Well, I'm sure he'll hit on a lot of these things tonight. It's going to be great. We have great. You're going to be on the coverage, right?
Yeah, it's going to be great.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Matt Peterson, editor-in-chief for Blaze Media. BlazeTV.com/stew, by the way, is the place you can go to subscribe to Blaze TV. They only got some discount going on right now, so go check that out. I know there was a Glenn code we used on radio today. It was go to blazetv.com/Glenn and save yourself $47, I think is what it was. So go do it there, because it's only one day only for that. So check that out. We got the coverage. We're going to give you like a nice pre-show. Then you'll watch the entire speech uninterrupted, and then we'll give you kind of a post-game wrap up. It's going to be a great night of coverage. Matt, thanks so much. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
President Donald Trump is about to take the stage for a major address to Congress. You probably already know that. And you probably already know that the media is locked and loaded, ready to twist every single word. That's why I will be there, as well as many of our top Blaze TV hosts. Going to be breaking it down. No spin, no nonsense, just the truth. We're not just streaming the speech. We're giving you real-time analysis, calling it exactly like we see it. So will Trump's vision push America forward? Will Washington do everything in his power to stop him? I think both things could be true on that one. We are going to be diving into all of it as it happens. You can watch it live across all Blaze TV channels. I would recommend highly you go to blazetv.com/stew, blazetv.com/stew. Use the promo code stew. You will get $20 off your subscription. And one of the things you get with your Blaze TV subscription, we don't talk about this all that often, but when we're doing these speeches, we do the pre-show, we go into speech coverage, and, you get to see all of the speech going on. As that's happening, we're chatting with you live, subscribers only, just kind of saying hello, answering your questions, making wise-ass comments. It's a lot of fun. So 7:30 p.m. Eastern is when it starts. Do not miss it. Set your reminders. Join me tonight and the rest of the Blaze TV team live. It's blazetv.com/stew. Promo code is stew.